Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I'm Jason Grill, 980 AM if you're listening on the radio, and if you're joining me on iTunes via podcast, we greatly appreciate it. Or at our website, grillnationshow.com. I want to thank contributor to the Grill Nation Show again, Port KC, for joining me today, and their website is portkc.com, and for bringing on an awesome guest. We had a great first few segments talking about the streetcar, and now we're going to go into a really exciting topic and things that are actually happening regarding affordable housing on the Berkeley Riverfront. We're going to bring on Kelly Harabe, who's the Prairie Fire Development Construction founder and co-owner. They are developing a affordable housing, multifamily affordable housing down on the riverfront in Berkeley Riverfront called Bridgeside Lofts. He has a background in all kinds of urban planning and economic development. We're really going to dive deep into affordable housing as far as what's going on right now in the future, but also get into this exciting project. I want to welcome to the show Kelly Harabe. How are you, sir?
Great. Nice to be here. Thanks.
Great to have you. First off, tell us about yourself. You mentioned off air, you have a lot of interesting background and urban planning, economic development, and now an affordable housing development.
Yeah, yeah. My background real quick is studied economics in an undergraduate degree in international finance, and then have a master's degree in urban planning with a focus on housing economics and community development. So I'm kind of a nerd. I don't have golf clubs, but I do have links to the U.S. Census Bureau and Bureau of Labor Statistics. So I spend a lot of my free time just researching data and seeing how households are changing and economics and those types of things and how it all relates to housing and community development.
So why did you decide to leave the economic development space to get into what you're doing now?
Yeah, well,
I know you'd had a lot of history in economic development work. And
sure. I just saw through economic development, good things that we were doing in communities, whether it was redevelopment or business recruitment and expansion. But one of the things we always saw was housing was kind of a fundamental need that always addressed some of the items that these companies were looking for and redevelopment efforts in neighborhoods. And from a simple economic standpoint in the affordable housing arena, the simple fact is the demand for this product is far, far outweighs the supply. So just from a simple economic demand curve, we felt that there's a great opportunity in this niche market to go out and provide affordable housing, knowing that whether the economy is good or bad, there's always going to be a need. So that's what I've focused my last 25 years on, and have really picked up speed lately as the issue becomes more and more important across the country.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Perry, how did you guys get connected, and why affordable housing as one of the, you mentioned you have 55 acres left of development to do on the riverfront that's available. Why did you all decide to move forward with affordable housing down there?
Well, you know, the riverfront needs to be dynamic in a lot of different ways, and who lives there is just one of those things. And if it's a monolithic culture with folks at only one income level, it wasn't going to be an exciting urban place. Mm-hmm. So Port KC, as a public purpose developer, we thought it was our mission as being the largest landowner in the greater downtown area to address one of the biggest needs, which is affordable housing. We can never do enough, but we couldn't do enough units to make up for the 2,500 that have been lost in the last few years off the affordable housing tax credit rolls. And we couldn't do low enough incomes with new development. So we always know that we can't do enough, but we had to do something. Mm-hmm. And so we had to go out and seek people like Kelly and work with for-profit developers in market rate to make sure that they are addressing at least a sliver of the percentage of their units. So we're doing all those things. And luckily, it came together. Kelly said yes. Other developers have come to us with proposals. But we're going with a proven market leader in affordable housing with Prairie Fire Development, with Kelly's company, mm-hmm. and we're hoping that we'll have success.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned proven. So you did the CP Lofts in the River Market.
Yeah.
What was that project like?
It was actually a great project. And I think it's an example of good partnerships and how these projects can get done, because they are challenging in the financing structure and actually getting these projects to a rent level that most people can afford. So,
what does that look like, Kelly?
So
currently,
I think the dynamic with, at least in Kansas City, Missouri, at City Hall, is very very optimistic as it relates to this issue. I think there's the city council and the mayor and city staff. This is an issue on the forefront of their minds, and I think given the great people down there and their ideas, along with the private sector, we can and groups like Port KC and PIA and other entities, they say, hey, this is important, because for us to be a great city, we need to have a diverse economy. And to have a diverse economy means diverse employers, diverse occupations, diverse incomes, which all requires diverse housing. And I think everybody's starting to finally say, hey, this is important to us. We want to be on the forefront of that. And, you know, Port KC, I commend them for, you know, they could have sold this land at a much higher price to another user, but they say, hey, this is important to us. We want to be one of the forefront entities or organizations to help put the formula together to make this work. And as a result, we're out competing for our financing and hopefully it'll.
What is CP Lofts like? What has that been like with as far as like how that has worked out?
Yeah. And you know, and I think again, that's a great example.
We need to hear more of these success stories in affordable housing in Kansas City.
And this is to me, it's a perfect example how to do one of these projects. The city owned the land. They sold it to us at a below market price, which helped with the costs. They provided incentives. They put in a couple $1 million worth of infrastructure, which all that in your capital stack, all that money that goes into your development ultimately allows you to charge rents at a lower rate because your development costs continue to increase. So in that project, again, we had the support of the neighborhood. We had the support of the city financially and politically. We had a great team that put the deal together, and CP Lofts ended up being a half affordable income restricted project and half market rate. And what's unique about that project, just like we're proposing for the riverfront, is the market rate units, because we have affordable units and housing tax credits in it in our capital stack, it allows us to underwrite our market rate units about 30-40% below the average market. For example, our most expensive two-bedroom unit at CP Lofts is about $1,275 a month, where the average rent for a new construction two-bedroom unit downtown right now is around $2,500 a month. So even our market rate units are still, because of the tax credits, the support from the city and other agencies allows us to handicap our even our market rents to where they're still achievable for folks that you know, may not need an affordable unit, but certainly don't have, you know.
So then more of the workforce folks people that are kind of in between all those areas. Yeah. There's so many different areas in the city's housing policy of Section 8 versus, you know, 30,000 a year versus 50,000. I mean,
sure. Yeah. And it's, and you know, and the, we're really kind of in the space between 40% of AMI to 80% AMI and market rate. Mm-hmm. Anything typically below that is going to fall more into like public housing and the 30% very low income. And there's different programs for that. But the program that we use is, that came out of the 1986 tax overhaul is the Section 42 housing tax credit. It's very important, and it's been a very successful program for 30 years that it incentivized both nonprofits and private developers to go out and do this kind of housing. It has a lot of bipartisan support right now in Congress. There's a bipartisan bill that has over 120 U.S. House of Representatives support, then probably 30 or 40 in the Senate to expand the program, because they've seen the success of giving private developers the tools to go out and do this type of project.
You know, I hear nobody talks about the financing aspect. I mean, it really is kind of forgotten to get these things done, but it's kind of the main point, right?
Yeah,
you have to have a bank. You have to have people that are willing to
absolutely
to do this. And, you know, a lot of developers aren't like you.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it.
Oh, it's let me tell you, it takes a village. And in fact, right before I came here, I was on a conference call where we're getting ready to redevelop the old YMCA building in downtown Kansas City, Kansas, which
had
been sitting vacant for a while. It's using historic.
Just drove by it, actually.
Yeah.
You were actually mentioned on the. We were with one of the council people over there from the Unified Government.
Okay.
And I was doing a bus tour of KCK with the Civic Council, KC DeMar Group, and your name came up about four times in the bus by the speaker. We drove by the old place because I used to be a summer clerk at a law firm over there.
Okay.
And so we used to play basketball at lunch break in that place, and I had no idea it was closed.
Yeah.
But it is now. And so you're redeveloping
it. We're, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll close on it next week. But a good example of this 44-unit senior housing project. They'll be all affordable, historic renovation. I just had our closing conference call before I came here, and there was probably about 50 people on that closing call to do a 44-unit deal. J.P. Morgan Chase, Chase Bank, Affordable Housing Partners, Berkady, and probably about 30 attorneys. So it does take a commitment from organizations, lenders, investors that are in the space to pull together. I mean, just imagine that. We have 50 people on a closing call, all to do this 44-unit historic project in downtown Kansas City, Kansas, which shows commitment from lenders and investors, the private sector, and everybody else to get these types of projects done.
Where does your all's project stand now with the Bridgeside Lofts and the riverfront?
Kelly's made application to Missouri Housing Development Corporation. Mm-hmm. And so we'll wait for his successful allotment of tax credits so that we can close the property. But we have an option with Kelly's company, with Prairie Fire, that says, you know, hey, he has site control. If he gets these tax credits, he has a place to land. Right. And that is what, that's our play right now. We'll pull that off the table for anybody else to look at for development in order for us to make this concerted effort together.
And we have about a minute left. We're going to get into in our next segment, kind of the future and kind of how things have evolved with cities and the tech and all the affordable housing issues. But you have a unique background. A lot of these people that are trying to do affordable housing right now don't have the economic development and urban planning background you have. Right. That definitely is a huge help for you.
I mean, and like I always, like we are saying in our company is, you know, the math shall always set you free. And it's really, it comes down to just the basic demographics. And for example, in Kansas City, Missouri, 62% of all renters earn less than $50,000 a year. 51% earn less than $35,000 a year. So you look at that data and you say, okay, well, what are we doing to build product that's going to satisfy those 50, 60% renters? Because they sure are not going to be able to afford $2,000, $2,500 a month in rent. So we look at the data very hard. We don't try to believe our own con. We let the data drive our decisions because we own these properties long term and we want to make sure they're sustainable.
Kelly Harabi is talking affordable housing with us today on the Grill Nation Show. Thanks to Port KC for bringing him on. And Joe Perry, we'll be right back after the break with more Grill Nation.
Since I came around, been a long time, but I'm back in town.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.